I confess I'm a mama's boy. Hope you are too, fellas. That's a good thing, isn't it? Praise God to be a mama's boy. That used to be something that you get beat up for at school, but I'll tell you what, they were wrong and I feel sorry for them. I am so blessed, and I called my mom already this morning. Yay. You know, I mean, that was small. I hope you have too. If you're able to, I hope you have too. I want to take you to 1 Samuel this morning. It's a good place to be. 1 Samuel, first chapter. Yeah, it's a book named after a mama's boy. Samuel is the son of Hannah. Hannah is a wonderful example for us, a model of motherhood. Hannah is in 1 Samuel. We're going to see some defining traits, if you will, of women of faith. And I want it understood. Wow, can you take a whole bunch of the monitor out? Because I've never really liked my voice. I want it understood today that we honor all women. I believe that all women have the heart of a mother and have opportunity to be blessings to children. Is there still lots of me in the monitor? I think so. Well, maybe I'm wrong. And as we look at the first two chapters of 1 Samuel, we're going to see some defining traits of women of faith. Now, it seems every Mother's Day and every Father's Day, we have to dance around and gently handle the subject of motherhood, because, of course, there are some who did not have great experiences growing up. Maybe their mother wasn't exemplary. Others who have lost their dear mom, and that's difficult, of course, and so it's a sensitive issue. And others yet that have suffered as Hannah suffered. But that should not prevent us from celebrating motherhood as it ought to be and as it ought to be celebrated. Yes, there's no perfect mother, just as there is no perfect children. Can I get an amen? Yes. Not a perfect one in this place, save the Lord. We are all imperfect people, and so may grace abound as we consider this wonderful topic, this all-important task of motherhood. Most important thing a woman can do, in my estimation, and again, I tread lightly, because maybe all won't agree, but it is so important, and certainly so influential. Who has more influence than a mom? I know Dad doesn't. It's been my experience. But Mom, she can get it done. Well, we're going to, and I'm going to just speak of these scriptures and not necessarily read through them all, but I will refer to specific portions of text and read them, of course. And again, it's always God's Word. If we cannot find a way to bring God's Word to the forefront in what we talk about in church, well, we're doing it wrong. God's Word is first and foremost. Amen? Amen? Women of faith experience real problems. And problems is not even a good enough word. Troubles, trials, sufferings, broken hearts. I could go on. And I know personally many a woman who has suffered, who has been broken. But God is there in the midst of that if you let Him be. We see a man in verse 2 of 1 Samuel, a man named Elkanah. And not the sharpest crayon in the box. I'm going to just say that. Brightest crayon in the box. Sharpest pencil in the box. That's what I'm talking about. You know, here we are in chapter 1, verse 2. Here we're introduced to this man. Now, I want to remind you that the heroes of the Bible are not perfect either. They're flawed. And that gives me encouragement. That gives me hope. We might think that it's tough to relate to these biblical heroes, these great, great people of faith, but you're not looking closely enough if that's what you think. If you think they were so perfect and that their culture was so different, well, maybe not. Actually, the Bible is filled with real women with real problems who face them with real faith. Praise God. So here we have this man, Elkanah. And in verse 2, we read, he had two wives. Yeah, dummy. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Well, going back into the context of the day, the chief role, if you will, again, be careful, Dan, the role of women, of the wife in those days, was to provide children. To many children, it was a blessing to a man. And a barren womb was considered a curse. Now, considered a curse, I'm not saying that, please, I'm not saying it is. It was considered a curse, and Hannah would have been looked down upon by people in her day, especially other women. Oh, especially Peninnah. Hannah was spiritually disturbed, socially disgraced, and emotionally depressed. But she is not alone. She joins a great line of women of faith who battled barrenness. Sarah, Abraham's wife. Rebecca, Isaac's wife. Rachel, Jacob's wife. The first three matriarchs of the people of Israel, the first three mums, if you will, the first three chosen of God to be the wives of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We always refer to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But how about Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel? And then there's Ruth, Boaz's wife, and Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. These are examples of women who were barren. It would suggest then to me that the assumption that being barren equals being cursed is wrong. Amen? It's totally wrong. And if anybody thinks otherwise, and I've actually heard people say that, and that is so off and so awful. So we're done. We can agree on that. And if you ever hear anybody say otherwise, open your Bible and read these stories to them. Was Rebecca and Sarah and Rachel cursed? Was Elizabeth cursed? Hardly, and certainly not. In Scripture, most of the women reported as being childless and barren were righteous and blessed of God. These were matriarchs of the faith, and many of those who conceived children easily were wicked and out of God's will. So, out with that. God's chosen people came from these three women. How interesting. We find the story opens with a major yearly event. Well, yes, it was a day of going and giving thanks. They were heading to Shiloh and to the temple to give thanks. But let's imagine it was Mother's Day. How would that feel for Hannah? I don't even have to imagine because I know. You see, my wife wasn't able to conceive. And for 10 years, we prayed desperately. Well, you know how the story ends. They're here. The blessing to have children is evident in my sons, and we are blessed. We are so blessed. But for 10 years, each Mother's Day was more difficult than the previous. It was so hard. I remember not even wanting to take her to church on Mother's Day, but we went. Well, we had to. I was the leader of the song service, and my wife was the choir director, and you know, it would look bad. So we were there. You heard about the pastor didn't want to go to church. Well, anyways, that's another story. That's just messed up. Well, Mother's Day, I would suggest, or this day, for Hannah, was just too painful, but it didn't stop her from going. Can you imagine the 20-mile journey to Shiloh, to the temple? We have Elkanah, and Hannah, and Peninnah, and all Peninnah's kids. Doesn't even say how many. Your kids. And this is hard for Hannah. She's not critical of Peninnah. Of course not. In fact, it's the other way around. It's the other way around. Now, Mother's Day may be painful for you. Imagine what it was like for Hannah. Or another great woman of faith, Judy. Maybe Mother's Day is painful as your mother is gone, and it's so hard to live without her, and it's difficult, and you miss her dearly. But we celebrate that mom, your mom. And others perhaps don't care much for your mom and she for you, and I'm sorry, that is a flawed example of motherhood, but you don't have to live there. You don't have to be that way. God has a better way. Or perhaps you just don't like the syrupy sentiments of the Hallmark cards. Maybe just you see Mother's Day as just a racket, another way to sell a whole bunch of cards. Well, just don't buy one. Be a Mother's Day card. Go and hug her and love her and speak to her words from your heart. I didn't give my mom a Mother's Day card. I gave her 3 oil changes at OK Tire, because that's how I roll. That says I love you 3 times over the next 9 months. Amen. Yeah, sometimes, like Murray always says, even a blind chicken sometimes gets a peck of corn. I can do it. I can come up with the odd good idea. Maybe you're a single dad, and it hurts the situation between you and your wife, ex, whatever the situation. Or the worst of all, those who have suffered the devastating loss of a child, a grandchild. I mean, oh, my heart goes out to you, and I've sat with those and wept with those and prayed with those dear folks. It's hard. But as a way of honoring mothers this morning, I want to make sure that every lady here gets a candle on your way out, and a tribute to that, whatever you want. It's a light. It's this little light of mine. It's a little comfort. It's you are that light. It's a little brightness in an otherwise dark. Whatever it you see. I see it as there's citronella candles, and that'll keep the mosquitoes away. Because, again, oil change Mother's Day. That's how I see it. And it's cool, and you can just go out and sit in the lawn chair when the mosquitoes are out, light that candle, sit there and go, amen. Amen. I get a moment. So there, that's what I got for that. You know, I'm just not as deep as all that you may have noticed. But God knows, this is a quote, someone said this, and a woman said this, God knows that a mother needs fortitude and courage and tolerance and flexibility and patience and firmness and nearly every other brave aspect of the human soul. Excellent. So they make this yearly trip to Shiloh, and keep in mind that Peninnah's children are all in tow, and you know, Hannah's even helping out with, I guarantee you, she's helping out, she's trying, she's doing what she can. But and here they are off to the temple. I can imagine and this was at a time when the light had nearly gone out, as it were, as it says in this story. God rarely spoke in those days. People weren't going to church, if it were put that way. Kind of like in these days, so few people going to church. But you're here, praise God. And to make it worse, the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were at the least, they were hypocrites. But sadly, they were evil men. They were terrible, despicable. I can imagine Elkanah might have perhaps considered saying, no one else is going. It's too far to travel. It's too hard to get the kids ready. I mean, he didn't even have a station wagon. You know, he had 20 miles on foot with kids. Yeah, that'd have been a joy. Imagine getting there late, I imagine. And, you know, maybe some of you moms experienced the joy of bringing your children here today. And you're watching this video and you go, oh, that's just great. Now you're just making me feel worse. I had a tough time with my kids and all the way. And praise God for that too, okay? We're not perfect. And I'm sure it wasn't a perfect journey, that 20-mile on-foot walk. And like I say, I'm sure he says, no one's going. It's too far to travel. The service is too early and too long. And I don't even like the ministers there. And no wonder he'd say that in that case. These men were corrupt, crooked, despicable men. Well, but Hannah. It's likely that Elkanah married Hannah first, but she could not bear children. So to have an heir, Elkanah chose to have a second wife. And again, the Bible does not condone that behavior. The Bible records these polygamous relationships, but it never endorses it. God's word teaches one wife for life. Amen? One wife for life. That's the best way. And those two wives didn't get along. How difficult. How difficult. But we read in verse 6, and the Lord had closed her womb. Now, her circumstance, the problem that she was having, was of the Lord. God was in the know. This wasn't some cursing. This was God's plan. And this is one of the hardest lessons we will ever learn. Our problems are given to us by God. Our circumstances, God is well aware of. He didn't miss that. He didn't not see that coming. It's difficult. And we would rather blame it all on Satan or on someone else. But it is God who allows good things and bad things to come into our lives. And as such, we should echo Job's faith. Shall we accept the good from God and not trouble? Or in Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes, when times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider this. God has made the one as well as the other. Now, Peninnah, in verse 6, we read that she is not of good character. It says that her rival, this is Peninnah, kept provoking her in order to irritate her. Can you imagine having somebody in your household doing this to you often and daily and painful? And this made Hannah so distraught. It was such a painful thing. It bothered her so deeply that she was in such grief that she lost her appetite. She couldn't even eat. She was, to the point of being physically sick over this. This is so hard. Some of you are in the middle of this kind of anguish in your circumstance, perhaps even right now. But Hannah, through all this, she is clearly an example of a woman of faith. A woman of faith experiencing real problems. Women of faith also express fervent prayer. We know the words written in James, the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. A righteous woman availeth much. Or said another way, the effective passionate prayers of the righteous can accomplish a whole lot. I don't imagine there are any more passionate or effective prayers than that of a mother. Especially a desperate mother. One praying for her children in danger. One praying for just that the Lord would protect and provide and help through a circumstance. Oh, that is a prayer. Hannah had problems, but she did not lash out. She did not shut down, but rather she prayed. She, we read in verse 10 of chapter 1, she greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She expressed her pain through faith in prayer. God uses our problems to get our attention. Sometimes that's what it takes us to get talking to our Father. According to Psalm 119:71, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. Our problems should drive us to prayer. Look at verse 10 and 11 of this chapter. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Well, that's a prayer of dedication, of promise. Her weeping, it led to worship and prayer as her tears are mingled with promise and hope. As part of her prayer, she's making vows to God. Sincere vows to God. Hannah now realizes a very important truth. Children are not for parents. Parents are for children. Somebody told me that years ago when we were desperately praying to have children, to be parents. Somebody said, well, consider this. And I received it rightly. I said, consider this. Maybe you shouldn't just be praying that God give you children so that you fulfill your parenting, that need in you. But rather, there are children that need parents. Pray that way. Maybe you think that's subtle, but it's enormously different. When I prayed, that changed my heart. God, I want to be a father to that child that needs me. That'd be better. Then, God, give me a child because I need. Fulfill the need. Better. Hallelujah. And she kept on praying to the Lord, we read in verse 12. She didn't pray once and then walk away. She kept on praying to the Lord. We prayed 10 years. We prayed with much tears and anguish. We invited others to pray with us. And sometimes we were heartbroken. And other times we were given just a little hope. And we just kept praying on. And, well, you know, they're big now, our boys. Our prayers were answered in big ways. Hallelujah. Eli thought she was drunk, but when she explained herself to him as to what she was praying about, he said, go in peace and may God of Israel grant you what you have asked for. This benediction was a huge blessing to Hannah. Eli did not know what Hannah was praying about, but as high priest, he gave his amen to her request. And her whole countenance changes. And we read in verse 18, as we read this, it says, she went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. It's really cool. I'm so glad for that after spending time in prayer, her face was no longer sad. Her countenance was changed. Her concerns were left with God. And now she was experiencing the peace that passes all understanding. Peace above your circumstance. Friends, when you've been with God in prayer, that alone is a blessing. Amen? But never underestimate the power of a praying mother. Women of faith experience real problems, express fervent prayer, and that leads us to another trait of women of faith. They experience God's provision. It tells us that the very next day they went back again and they prayed and they worshiped before the Lord, and as that was their practice. And then they went back home. And within a year, Hannah conceived and gave birth to her son, naming him Samuel. Samuel meaning name of God. And every time she said his name, she was reminded of God's mercy. His mercy toward those who call upon his name. And our children ought to remind us of God's blessing. But I do want to be careful here, because just because Hannah's prayer was answered and she received that son and what a blessing that was, it does not necessarily mean that that's going to be God's answer for every such prayer. It was different for us. It's been different for others. But know this, God loves you. God hears you. God answers prayer. He will meet you when you need. He will do for you. And he is a blessing. Women of faith experience real problems, express fervent prayer, experience God's provision. And finally, women of faith express sincere dedication and heartfelt praise. Just tying that together. Wonderful what happens. It's 4 years later since her last visit to the temple. Now her son Samuel is 3 years old. And she comes back and she comes with a heart of dedication. And you know our experience, our practice of dedicating children is from this example. We dedicate children to the Lord. That which God has entrusted to us, we give back to Him. We ought to know that they are not ours. They are the Lord's. Every child is God's. It's a wonderful thing. She says, so now I give him to the Lord for his whole life. He will be given over to the Lord. Can I tell you something? That is good. Really good. Especially you moms who are hurting, who are just heartbroken over the situation your children find themselves in. Give them to God. Turn them over to God. And when that pain comes again, and it comes often, remember, God, it's your job. Ultimately, that's your child. You've entrusted them to me, but Lord, your child is in need. Your little one is wandering, is lost, is in danger, is in need. God, take care of him. It's God's job. It's not your job, ultimately. Hallelujah. And we get a glimpse of little Samuel's heart. Now, this is a three-year-old. And we're reading here, verse 28, and he worshiped the Lord there. Three-year-old Samuel worshiped the Lord. Even at 3 years old, he's worshiping God. How do you think he learned that? He got that from mom. Perhaps dad. But he learned that at home. I would expect that that household took very seriously the exhortation of Deuteronomy chapter 6, 6 and 7. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Wonderful. Bedtime, getting up in the morning, walking along that 20-mile stretch to Shiloh, talking about it and being examples of women of faith. Such a wonderful turn of circumstance. Hannah has come back to the temple 4 years later, and she has a beautiful song of praise for God. And these women of faith, you women of faith, you will and you have and you do experience real problems. Respond to those problems by expressing fervent prayer. Experience God's provision. And then express sincere dedication and heartfelt praise. Thank you for being moms. Oh man, I tell you what, you are a blessing. My mom was far from perfect, but she is my perfect mom. I'm real good at forgetting what I don't want to remember and remembering what I don't want to forget. I suggest you do likewise. Let's bow our heads in prayer as I pray a Mother's Day prayer. Every one of us has been born by a mother. And today we pray for every mom, in every home, in every nation. We pray for the moms who are busy doing the menial, the hard work, the redundant, the laundry, cleaning house, preparing meals for everyone in the home. May you find sanity in the middle of the crazy. We pray for moms who work outside the home. May you experience increased energy and decreased guilt. We pray for moms of children with special needs. You are special. May your energy be replenished, knowing that your heavenly reward is great. We pray for single moms, may your hope and strength be found in our great God, who is the Father of the fatherless. And we pray for expectant mothers. May God protect the amazing life growing inside you. We pray for moms who are struggling to become pregnant. May you experience the love of God in the middle of this intense and uncertain battle. We pray for those whose moms have passed away. May this be a day of honor filled with fond memories for you. We pray for moms who have suffered the intense pain of the death of a child. May you find peace and hope in your daily life as you go on with that deeply wounded heart. Thank you, God, for giving us these lovely, imperfect, sacrificial moms. Thank you for making yourself known to us through them. We ask this in Jesus' name. We all said, amen, amen. Would you stand with me and we will sing together, and we ask our dear ladies, dear moms, to come and play in closing. It'd be so good if I could remember what the song was. Oh, now I remember. There is sunshine in my soul. Amen? Amen. Let's stand, sing together, praise God as we do. If you like to sing out of the hymnals, it's $3.99. And as we sing, and as you say the word sunshine, think of mom. Oh, and let a memory flood in with each thought of sunshine.